The following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. If you're in the Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services, or visit us online at newsalembaptist.net. And now, here's Pastor Alan.
We've got a special guest with us today. He's no stranger to our New Salem family. I remember sitting in a meeting a few years back with a bunch of pastors from different churches in our end of the county, some from small churches, some from big churches, and we were all wrestling with the same problem. Nobody was having much success reaching that 18 to 24-year-old age group. When kids hit college, it's like they disappeared, and we never saw them again. And somebody said, have you heard what Van Ferguson's doing? Van Ferguson has very successfully reached out to that age group and has a thriving ministry here in Soddy Daisy. And he's joining us today to come and let us know the latest that New Identity's been up to and also to bring a word to us this morning. So a little while, you're going to have a chance to hear from Van. We always look forward to having you with us, Van, and are excited to hear what God's been doing through New Identity in the last few months.
It is so... so good to be here. I always look forward to this. It was last year, I think, at this church when I realized that I need glasses. And so my wife, I've used readers for a while, and she finally got sick of seeing me take them on and off, and so she purchased me some. I just had to break down and do it. So here I am. It is good to be here, and my name's Van Ferguson. My wife's name is Anna. And first and foremost, just in case I forget, thank you from the bottom of my heart. We couldn't do our ministry without you, and this church has faithfully supported us now, I don't even know how many years, to be honest, but for a long, long time. Just in case you're not aware, it was actually, I think here, about 10 years ago, I got up here and did my little commercial, and afterwards a little lady came up to me and she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Wow, all right, I just assume people know." So that's obviously not the case. So we have a college ministry here. We started a ministry in our living room 19 years ago. Hard to believe. And 19 years later, we're still rolling on, and we now meet in the old South Soddy Baptist Church, New Identity. We're not a cult. I've been accused of that. We're not a cult. We just work with college-age students. We function much like a church ministry would, but we preach to our students frequently. We're not a church, and we want them to be a part of a local body of believers. We're just a temporary ministry trying to aid the local churches during these years, 18 to 23, 24 years of age. We'd love to have you come if you're in that age group. And so typically what a week looks like, we meet tonight at 6:33, there's nothing significant about that whatsoever. It's not important. I used to tell students 18, 19 years ago, if they had three more minutes, they might be on time. And so it's 6:33, but we meet, we have a meeting, we teach. Right now I'm going through the book of Hebrews, and then afterwards we will break off into small groups. Thank God right now we have several helpers. Former students of ours that stuck around, some of them 15 years ago, that's come back to help. And so we do small groups. We try our best in those small groups to find those kids, those students that are really, really interested. And then during the week, we meet with them in even a smaller group, more discipleship type training. We eat, we have churches and individuals throughout Soddy Daisy and Hickson and Red Bank that provide food every Sunday night for our ministry. As I said, we meet throughout the week. We try to have fun events for them. We do mission trips. I just thank Jesus for this. This coming in the month of May, we have a group that's going to Dominican Republic. Now, I've been to Dominican Republic several times. And this year we have a couple that met in our ministry, got married, and now they help, and they're actually leading the group to the Dominican Republic. And so first time ever this has happened, and so we've got about 11 or 12 students that's going with them in May, and then in June I'm leading a group to Portugal. So I'll be in Portugal for about eight or nine days there. I've already been to Zambia this year, and I got to teach some pastors in Zambia. And so we try our best to introduce these students to what I like to call the real world, outside of Disneyland. And so they get to see what most of the world lives like. And typically we have those that from that, man, many of them want to be, feel called to missions, or at least want to get involved in missions in one way, form, or fashion. My wife and I are the directors for FCA at Chattanooga State. So I work with college athletes there, and I was telling Alan a moment ago, it's become my passion. I absolutely love it. I love working with most of the basketball players, kind of inner city kids. And I love working with these guys. I have absolutely fallen in love. And so the ministry there is going very well, very, very well. Our ministry overall, both are doing extremely well, kind of overwhelming at times. But we couldn't do it without you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Y'all's support is a blessing, and if you would like to be, I send out text messages for our newsletter, usually weekly, maybe every other week. It's a short text message, and so if you're interested in that, getting that, just let me know. I'll put your phone number down, and you can kind of keep in the circle, kind of what's going on in New Identity. Again, I thank you. All right. This morning we're going to do something that I did not plan on doing at all. Galatians chapter 1. I decided to do this last night. Tuesday morning I was at a private school here in Chattanooga doing a chapel service. And this is what I taught on. I had no intentions of doing this whatsoever. This was originally set up for kids, high school students, 9th to 12th graders. And so, but I changed my mind last night and decided that's what we're going to do. And so hopefully, I pray this will be a blessing to you as well. Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to read one verse. I never do that, but one verse in just a moment. This message is for those that might be here this morning, those who are possibly really, really concerned about what people think about you. Okay? Really concerned about what others think about you. And if we're honest, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, and probably there'd only be a few that might be willing to lift up that hand, but in all reality, all of us struggle with this to some degree. Even these kids that oftentimes that may dress a little weird and weird hairdos, and they do different things to their body, they would say they're trying to make a statement, but ultimately at the end of the day, they're saying, please look at me. Pay attention to me. Notice me. And so we really struggle in this area. And so there's two things in particular that I'm going to be talking about. All right. Comparing ourselves to one another and seeking man's approval. Those two things. That's the two things that everything will revolve around. I'm going to give you some examples, and I didn't plan on doing this either. But again, something was brought to my attention talking to Alan. Years ago, Ted Painter asked me to preach here. I think he was on vacation. He was at Miles Strait one Sunday morning, and I was preaching. Afterwards, he asked if I would come and preach. And I was, oh my, particularly at that point in my life, I was young. I was thrilled to death. I thought, oh yeah, this is the big time now. I've reached the big time. And so, but I did something. I don't remember. It was a month or two later. I came and spoke one Sunday morning. And I took a sermon that, oh my, I had memorized this sermon like the back of my hand. But I went back and I changed some words. Got in the dictionary and I looked up some words, all right? And I replaced some words here and there because I was afraid that I was just going to look like a redneck hick standing up here. And at that time, I had some of my favorite preacher in the world was John Piper, and I'd listen to John Piper, and I'm thinking, and it was so frustrating. I spoke that morning, I walked back to the back, no joke, Ted Painter walked back there with me. He said, "What exactly were you doing?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, That's nothing like what I heard you do several weeks ago. And he gave me some of the best advice of my life. He said, "I didn't ask you to come for you to pretend to be somebody else. Just wanted you to be you." But at that point, being a young preacher, it was very frustrating for me, kind of comparing myself, if you will, to others. I also, back around that time period, thought of something else. I pastored a church for 4 years. And from the outside looking in, our church did very well. It tripled in size. My wife took the children's program from 2 children to over 60 in a 4-year period of time. And we're in a little church out in the middle of nowhere. But when I look back on that time of my life, it's very discouraging because I wasn't a leader. I wasn't a leader. I was 29 years old, working with mostly people that were much older than me at that point in time. I wasn't a leader. All I wanted to do was try and win the approval. I wanted to make everybody happy in that church. And obviously, that's just not possible. Here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, "Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant." Paul says, "Am I trying to win the approval of man?" A very important question here, or of God. Now, that's a loaded question that I'm going to get to in just a second. But am I trying to win the approval of man? Am I trying to win the approval of God? And really, it's the idea of please. Am I trying to please man or am I trying to please God? And that's a question we have to ask ourselves in every area of our life, whether it's work or school or family or relationships. Am I trying to please man or am I trying to please God? And I think it's really critical that we understand no matter what you do in life, you are never going to make everybody happy. Ever. If there's anything I've learned as being a leader, it's that every choice and every decision that you make, somebody loves it and somebody hates it. That's just kind of the way it works as a leader. And so what matters most is, are you trying to please God? Or ultimately, are you trying to please man? There in verse 10, Paul said, "Obviously, I am not trying to win the approval of man." And when he says that, what that means is he has done something that hasn't gone over so well. What has he done? Preach the gospel. I mean, plain and simple. He's preached the good news. He has preached. And here's the kicker. Salvation comes by faith alone in Christ alone. Okay? And so he's addressing a group, Judaizers, religious people there in this city. And they've got a problem with that. You know, it's fine if you want to believe and put your faith in Christ, but you also got to keep the Sabbath day and circumcision and all these other rituals and these different traditions. And that's maybe not be our problem today, but we've got others, things we want to add to the gospel, and that's exactly what they were doing. And so they're not very happy, and I promise you they're not happy if you go back to verse 9 where Paul says, if you do preach another gospel, may you be cursed. And actually the word there is damned, meaning take it a step further than that. If you preach another gospel, may you be damned to hell, is what he's saying. Paul loves these people so much, he's willing to tell them the truth. Right? Now, they're offended by it. Listen, everybody's offended today, aren't they? I mean, my goodness, we live in a day and time people look for reasons to be offended, and everybody's a victim. We even have universities that I've been to that have safe spaces now for people, in case you didn't know that. These are places for people to go so they don't have to deal with those that have a different opinion than they do or disagree with them. And so they have their safe space that they can't escape to. That would not have worked out well at Saudi Daisy High School in the 80s and 90s. I can assure you of that when I was there. You know, oftentimes as Christians, the most difficult things that we will have to say and do are the most important. My wife and I have tried for the past 19 years, we're not perfect by any means, but we have tried for the last 19 years to share with 18 to 23, 24-year-olds the truth. And I'm telling you, from the depths of my soul, I want them to like me. But that is not my top priority. As a pastor, I promise you, Alan wants every person in this room to like him. But that's not the top priority. It's preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think what Paul is saying here is, if you want to win the approval of man, it's not that hard. I mean, you know, don't talk about hell and don't talk about sin. Have you ever thought about, when's the last time you heard the word sin used outside of church and ministry? Think about that. That's a word you don't even hear anymore because it's not politically correct, because there's no absolute truth anymore. So you don't want to talk about sin. Matter of fact, if you want to win the approval of man, talk about health, wealth, and prosperity, and teach that you can be a follower of Christ and come to Christ and live any way you want. Continue to live your lifestyle, and God's perfectly fine with it. You'll win the approval of man. But the problem is, for me anyway, is that one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account. And I'm not going to give an account for any person in this room. I'm going to give an account for me. And it's scary to think that God might say, why did you skip certain parts of the Bible? Why did you pick and choose what you wanted to talk about and teach on and skip others? And I have told college-age students this for years. If you want to be a people pleaser, you're going to have a hard time following Christ. Because that name Jesus alone offends people. Just all by itself, it makes people mad. And I think that's why Jesus would oftentimes tell people that came to follow him, you better count the cost before you follow me. I mean, if they hate me, they're for sure going to hate you. You better think long and hard before you become a follower of mine. As a Christian, you cannot walk in freedom and fear man's opinion. You cannot do it. It's just not possible. We also, one other thing just to try to draw from these verses, we're also prone to want to compare ourselves to one another. And you definitely see this in the world, but you'll also even see this today in the church. And it's sad because Christ is the standard that we're to live by. I mean, that's the goal. But oftentimes, even in the church, we're prone to look around and compare ourselves to one another. And that never works out well, ever. Okay? Because if you do that, one of two things happen. Kind of like me talking about my deal with Ted Painter. You either get frustrated because you look at other people and what they're doing and you're thinking, I can never live up to that. My ministry will never look like this. My ministry will never look like that. Or outside of the church, I'm never going to have a house that size or a car like that or clothes or vacations. I mean, when you compare yourself to others, it's always very frustrating. It can be. Or on the flip side of that, what oftentimes happens is in our own eyes, we always, this is religious, we always look better than our neighbor. I do this, I do that for the Lord. And so what that can also lead to is pride. Pride and arrogance. We got to be careful. Got to be careful. We don't want to be envious, jealous of others. Guys, and particularly young people that are in here, this right here, this is a killer in this day and time. Social media. It is absolutely a killer because we have the ability to see what other people have, what other people look like, how they live. Growing up in Saudi Daisy when I was a kid, the only people we had to compare ourselves to were one another for the most part. And everybody, we're all kind of the same. Now you can compare yourself to the world. The world. And it's sad. It kills people. Between the years of 2006 and 2017 in America, the suicide rate went up by 70%. Now, why do you think that is? 2007, the iPhone. That's the problem. It's powerful. It's deceptive, it's a liar, and it's right at our fingertips, and particularly for kids, right at our fingertips. Ladies, when I was thinking about this, I think it could apply here, but when I was thinking about this, I'm thinking about younger girls, but I think if you're not careful, you can get this unrealistic picture of what you're supposed to look like from this phone, right? This idea of wanting to compare yourself to, in all reality, pictures that's probably been manufactured and created anyway. They're not even real. But you find yourself wanting to look like that. And the devil's telling you, if you want to be happy, I mean, that's what you got to look like. If you want to be happy in life, you'll find yourself comparing. When we read the scriptures and the Bible says you're fearful and wonderfully made just the way you are. You'll never ever be content comparing yourself to someone else. Ever. You'll never be content. Also think about men, apps and things that I watch. I love sports. I love UFC. Sorry, I like to watch fighting. And I love hunting. And I think about a lot of these podcasts, things that I watch. And here's what I see oftentimes on those podcasts is, they tell us that, listen, if you're a man and you show your emotions, right? You cry, you show your emotions, you share struggles, things that you're dealing with in your life, it makes you weak. You're not tough. That's not at all what we see in the scriptures. Not at all, not even close. And so you can get the wrong idea when you start comparing yourself to others. You'll never be content comparing yourself to other people. Now, I told you earlier, it's a loaded question. Are you trying to win the approval of man? Trying to win the approval of God? Well, you'll never win the approval of man, but let me throw something else out there, because I think this is the most important part, and there's no doubt in my mind that everybody in this room can't take something from this. You can't win the approval of God either. You cannot win or earn the approval of God. You love Him because He first loved you. I don't know. I'm sure you've thought of this. You've got a brilliant pastor here who's probably brought this up countless times to you through the years, but I'll just throw it out there in case you've never heard this. When Jesus was being baptized, John the Baptist. This booming voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, as far as on record up to that point, there's no mention. Jesus has not performed one miracle. He's not turned water into wine. He's not walked on water, healed the lame, sick, blind, deaf, leprosy, raised people from the dead, controlled the weather. He's done nothing at that point in time, and yet God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," just the way he is. I have some pictures I wanted to show you. You're just going to have to bear with me for a moment here. That the first picture, now that's my son Gabe, all right? Now again, bear with me. I'm going to brag a little, all right? But at this point in time, Gabe, he's 4 years old. He's playing 5 and 6 baseball. Years ago, 14 years ago now, he's playing baseball. And I'm looking, I don't want to make anybody mad here, but just to fill you in on this, okay, if you're in 5 and 6 year old rec baseball and you're the catcher, you're probably not that good. All right, I'm just going to tell you, that's probably the case. And so this is Gabe, 5 years old. So this is Gabe. I think this was last year, if I'm not mistaken. He plays for the high school. He is one of the better baseball players as a father in Hamilton County. He's got opportunities to go play college. He won't play college ball anymore, but he's got opportunities to go play if he wants to. My older son had a lot of opportunities to play college baseball too. But I want to drive home a point here. Put both of those pictures up. His mother and I, we loved him just as much there as we do here. Okay? Like, that right there played absolutely no part in how we have felt about our son throughout the years whatsoever. Whatsoever. As a matter of fact, my son, my wife, screamed and yelled and cheered some of the craziest stuff for this 4-year-old, just like she does now for an 18-year-old. Didn't change a bit. And I believe that there's probably people here this morning, you need to hear that. You need to know how God feels about you. His love for you is not based off of performance or looks, possessions. He loves you. He made you. You're a child of God. And you need to start focusing more on God's opinion and perspective of you and less of others and what people think. God loves you. He loves you. Man's approval, it changes like the wind, right? I mean, one day they're for you, the next day they're against you. If you don't believe that, you can look that up. Just look at professional athletes and CEOs and presidents, politicians, movie stars. One day you're on top of the world, the next day you've been thrown to the wayside. That's man's approval. Means nothing. It means, at the end of the day, it means nothing. Four years ago, however long, I went to my 30-year reunion, and kind of sad. And I'm walking in, my wife and I are walking in with this guy, and I'm talking to him. Honestly, I thought this guy's probably the spouse of someone I went to school with. And then they gave him his name tag. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I grew up with this guy. I didn't know who he was. I had no clue. And I go in, I'm looking at all these people, many of them I didn't even recognize anymore. But 30 years ago, what those people thought about me was the most important thing in this world. All that mattered to me is what those guys in high school, girls in high school, what they thought. I mean, 33, 34 years, I haven't thought about that in 34 years. I don't care what they think. But that's just life in general. 100 years from now, the only person's opinion that's going to matter is Jesus. I mean, That's ultimately, Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content in every situation I find myself in, good and bad. I've learned the secret to being content, and it's found in Christ. And that key there for every one of us is that he learned. He transformed his mind, his thinking. He learned the secret of being content in every area of life. There's some of us here, now maybe this is in the past for you, but I would say that every person in this room at some point in time in our lives, we have gone somewhere and done something we knew was wrong, but we were fearful of what somebody might say, what somebody thought about us. I would say in a room like this, people around my age, we've probably all at some point in our time bought something that we could not afford because we're trying to impress people. We cared about what somebody else thought about us. I think Dave Ramsey's the one that says, you know, we buy cars that we can't afford to impress people at a red light. We'll never meet a day in our life, but we'll go in debt for it just to have them go, ooh. One of the things I deal with a lot with college students, they chase after careers that they care nothing about, many of them, but they've been told, this is what you need to do, you're going to get rich. Fix your eyes on Christ. Just fix your eyes on Christ. At 52 years of age, I can honestly say I don't really care what an 18 to 24-year-old thinks about me. You know, I mean, still living at home playing video games. I don't really care what they think at all about me. But I am a people pleaser by nature. I want everybody to be happy. I really do. And it's not realistic. The only person on this planet that I should be trying to please is Christ. The ultimate goal one day is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. I'm pleased with you. That's the ultimate goal. We'll never please man. It's just impossible as a follower of Christ. We can't please man. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for always the opportunity to be at this church. God, I pray that ultimately every person here this morning, our desire is to follow you, is to be more like you, to imitate you in everything that we do. God, I thank you. I pray, Father, that you'll just bless if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today will be the day they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But God, I pray for those of us here that we may struggle. We may not find our identity in you. And so, God, we struggle. Father, I pray that we just draw close to you, we keep our eyes fixed on you, and that we find joy and contentment that only you provide. And in the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
If you enjoyed this program, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thanks for listening.